Old Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Hello, it's episode 6 of Alt Down Under. Bloody welcome along, one and all. Tell you what, man, these weeks really are whizzing by. What is going on? It actually feels like 2024 is properly up and running. My head is everywhere. Now, a couple of the last few artists I've had on the show, Foles and Declan McKenna, obviously not Australian artists, but they have been down this way on tour, making the long journey, the long arduous journey, down here lugging all their gear to play to you guys in Oz. So this episode is all about a homegrown talent, an artist who's plying their trade right here in my adopted hometown, Melbourne. And that is Ruby Cannon. Get on to that there chat in a wee while, where she'll tell us all about her real pure love of music. She is just someone with a love of music right at the core of her work as an artist. She's just honestly lives and breathes music. She'll also tell us how highly she is rating the live music scene here in Melbourne. And to be honest, I have to be true. I do tend to be a bit biased towards London, because that place just honestly different gravy. But Melbourne genuinely does go toe-to-toe with those cities kind of across the world, really, that are best known for live music. And heartbreak, get the violins out, kids. I've actually only got under 6 weeks left in Oz to enjoy the gigs here. Bit of a visa situation. I've not done the farm work. I mean, I just haven't done it. You have to do farm work, if you don't know, to qualify for your second working holiday visa. So I haven't done it. I'm leaving, coming back in July when they're scrapping those rules, and I can live here as a farm work free freeloader. But yeah, got a couple of gigs coming up that I will tell you about on the next week's episode. Hopefully going to be lining up some interviews with these guys as well. I'm going to see Gengar over from the UK along with Seagulls, doing great things in the last sort of 5-6 years with their real high energy indie pop brand. And RMFC, I love these guys. Proper raw post-punk feel to these guys. Have a listen to their album that came out, I think it was just towards the end of 2023. It's called Club Hits. Love the name of the album, so good. But when you see these guys live, you are just honestly in store for just the sweatiest night. Pure, raw punk. That's what it's all about. And just, the guitar work with these guys. It's frantic, it draws you in, and just gets in your bones. So yes, hopefully some interviews coming up with those three bands, Gengar, Seagulls, and RMFC. And to be honest, it is strange times. I'm a bit weird about the fact I have to leave, because I feel very settled in Australia. Got a good friend base here. There's obviously festivals coming up. Summer's right, we're right in the middle of it now. And yeah, as I said, the gig scene here in Melbourne, just, it's worth staying for alone. But exciting times. Strange times, exciting times. I have got flights booked for the States. I'm going to go see my good friend who moved out there himself last year. And yeah, going to be catching up. Little road trip, swinging through Vegas. I will not be putting any bets on going to casinos, because that is not my game. That's one way to draw all of the travel funds in one hit. I'll be gone. I'll be broke and just penniless, just begging someone for money to get home. But one thing I will be doing is swinging by Texas and heading to South by Southwest in Austin. I'm going to be there to 8th to 10th of March. If anyone listening is heading down that way, do give me a shout. So yeah, obviously, there's kind of like a business tech startup side to it, but I'll be heading to the music festival side of South by Southwest. And yeah, it's all about emerging bands, emerging talent from across the world who are most often invited out there, and they get paid to be sent out there. Bands that are really trying to build a fan base and just basically broaden their horizon, draw more inspiration into their writing. So yeah, just really exciting to be able to be a part of that and swing by. And something I'm working on, hopefully in the pipeline, I'll be getting some interviews and bringing those to you too, because although I will be gone for 4 months, I will be keep interviewing bands, hopefully introducing you to some hot new acts that I'm loving, that I think you should be loving, and I'll keep it going across the 4 months. Hey, I won't have a job for 4 months. I've got fuck all else to do. I might as well continue making this.
Alternative Down Under.
Now, time for my artist interviews for this, episode 6 of Alt Down Under. It's with the Melbourne-based artist, the superb artist, with, let's be honest, just a beautifully retro tinge to her tunes. I mentioned before, this is a real, genuine music lover with just a brilliant soul to the music that she's creating. Her latest EP, Ruby and the Cannons, landed in November. Even the artwork is just, it's a bit of me. Go check it out. It is, of course, the great talent that is Ruby Cannon. Ruby Bloody Cannon, welcome to Alt Down Under. How are you?
I am good, thanks. How are you?
I'm bloody well. All the better for speaking to you. So, first things first, obviously this is audio, but for visual description, you've just dyed your hair pink, is that right?
I have just dyed my hair pink, and
rock
I'm feeling good. Yeah, rock and roll.
What were the group of ladies in Greece? What were they? Because like Danny Zuko and stuff with the T-Birds, weren't they?
Yes.
What were the girls called?
Oh my god.
Because one of them had pink hair, right?
Yeah. Was it Rizzo?
Yeah, Rizzo with the bubblegum.
It might have been. I can't remember who was who, but they were called the Pink Ladies and they had the cool jackets.
There you go. How did I not get that? They're obviously called the Pink Ladies.
Yeah, wait, is that right? I hope so.
We'll go with that. Anyway, so just before we started recording, Ruby, we were chatting about London. Obviously, I lived there. You visited there. This was genuinely going to be my first port of call in terms of questions, because it's been hilarious in my now, like, well, coming up to a year, let's say, in Australia. I love the whole thing around, like, going to Europe. Because obviously for me, being from there, it is quite funny. and you've recently made the trip. You went to London. Where else did you head?
Well, okay, so I started in London and then I went down to Zurich in Switzerland. And then...
That's a very rogue move, by the way. I've never heard someone do that.
Right?
Fair play.
Right, yeah. I'm just, you know, trying to keep it different, yeah? Stay unique. Well, yeah, you know. And then from Zurich, I went to Berlin, which, I mean, that's not as rogue. Berlin's amazing. Everyone goes to Berlin. How can you not? And then after that, it was Greece. Speaking of Greece. And then it was to, okay, and this is where it gets weird, because from Greece, I went to the Amalfi Coast. And from there, I was meant to stay there for longer than I did, because from there, I was meant to go to Rome and then home. But instead, we stayed in Amalfi for probably 4 nights. And then I was like, you know what? I want to go to Paris. Just why not? So flew back up to Paris, you know, closer to London where we started, and had the time of my life, and then went back down to Italy again 2 nights later.
Amazing, man. What a trip. What a trip. The only reason I wanted to ask that is because George Ezra obviously has become like massive over the last 10 years. But the interesting thing about him is when he first started off, He was like signed to a label, was really struggling like from a creative sense. He was like, he obviously had the talent there. The label knew he had the talent, but things just weren't quite clicking on the song front. So they basically said to him, pack your bags, head out on a little trip. So he went around Europe, and that's where he obviously got songs like Budapest, Barcelona, and basically the rest is history. So I just wanted to ask you, in terms of an artistic side of things on that trip, was there anything from that kind of inspired you when you came back, or even when you were there you picked up the pen and paper or made notes on your phone or voice notes in your phone that kind of triggered a few songs?
I think you'll probably like this answer, because London was the one for that.
My girl
yeah, right? London did it for me. I mean, I think the other, like the cities were incredible, but for me, I relate most to the music side of things and going to London. Actually, finally, we talk about this. This cup here, I got this.
There you go. Abbey Road Studios.
Abbey Road Studios. Because obviously my whole inspiration being from the 70s and all that stuff, going and seeing Abbey Road Studios and seeing the David Bowie memorials and all of that kind of stuff. And Paris as well for The Doors, Jim Morrison.
There's graves there, isn't it?
Oh my God, amazing. That kind of, that history, that music history, that is what inspired me. And it just like kind of fell even more in love with all of that history all over again.
Yeah, amazing. So we're like, I also live in Melbourne, you're in Melbourne. It is a great city for music. I think that's part of the reason I moved here, because it was very much spin the map of Australia, pick a place to live. But people who I'd known that had lived here before, everyone were like, Luke, go to Melbourne. It's got the music scene. You'll love it. Turns out I do, thankfully. It is good, but I don't know if you'd agree. I don't know anywhere that city-wise quite is up to London's game when it comes to gigs and the live music scene.
Yeah, I have to agree. At the same time, though, I once heard, now I don't know where I got the statistic from, so take it with a grain of salt, but I heard that Melbourne...
God, I feel like we need a big drum roll for this, Ruby. Go on, what have you got for us?
Okay, this could be bullshit, but who knows? Okay, but I heard that Melbourne's music scene, or the amount of gigs that is in Melbourne per week or per day or whatever it is actually more than London and New York per, like, how do you say it?
Across the calendar year or whatever.
Well, for the size of our population.
Got you. So, like, gigs per capita.
Yeah, per capita. So we actually have the most in the world, apparently. Now, don't ask me where I got the statistic, because I don't know if it's true, but that's
I would love if you just turned around and went, I did a head count, and... This is what I've ended up with.
I could. I mean, I'm a booker, so I could.
So that's amazing. That's interesting you mentioned that. So you're a booker within the music space. Is that quite handy, being knowing both sides of the fence?
Yeah, it has been. So obviously I was a musician first, and I'm always a musician first, but this being a booker as well has been so interesting to learn about in the music industry and how the stuff that I don't really get to do for myself sometimes, like when it comes to negotiating deals or all that kind of thing, now I'm learning how all that works. I'm like, that's really interesting. That's what goes on behind the scenes that I didn't know about before. And I think if you're working in that kind of a position, it can teach you to manage yourself and be your own booking agent and be so on top of everything you're doing. And it's very interesting.
Yeah, that's so cool. I like, obviously, I can't play any instrument for love nor fucking money. But it's kind of interesting having worked on like the media side of it and having friends that are musicians as well. You kind of get to know it a bit better. And it is quite hard. And like, because it kind of leads me on to what I wanted to chat to you about next. Because, you know, you're still building up a fan base yourself and like, still releasing stuff quite regularly, getting yourself out there. It is really hard. Like, I don't think people appreciate how hard it is to break into music as a whole. It's crazy. How have you found the whole journey yourself? And like, just give us a bit of background as to when you actually kind of you were like, right, I'm gonna get cracking. Let's start this. Let's do this.
I always wanted it. Like, when ever since I was a kid, the moment I picked up a guitar for the first time, I was like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. But there was never a question. It was always, this is what I'm doing. And I never had any other ideas. It was music. I'm going to do that. So then it kind of happened naturally, because everything I did was always, it always came back to music. It always came back to, right, what am I going to study? Music, of course. What am I going to do for a job? I don't know, work at a venue, anything to do with music. So it kind of just fell into place, I guess.
That's amazing. That's great. And because earlier you mentioned as part of your trip, you pay these almost like music pilgrimages to Abbey Road Studios. You went to the Bowie Memorial, and you mentioned going to see, check out all the Doors stuff in Paris. Was that part of your childhood as well? Was that kind of style of music like a big thing in your house? Because it was for me. I cried the day Bowie died, like, fully.
Oh, my God, I know. It's devastating. I was actually thinking about that the other day. It's so sad. I was watching Zoolander and David Bowie's in it. And it's like when he's older, and I was just like, that was like not that long before it was a few years before he died, but still, it's just like, that's so wild. But yes, it was a big, to answer your question, yes, it was a big part of my childhood. Like, the reason I got into music was because of my dad. He taught me how to play guitar, because he was never a professional musician, but he would rip on a harmonica. Absolutely rip.
Love that. That's
and he
awesome.
Was really... He's really good, and his dad was the same. He was really good at playing the accordion and banjo, and it was kind of a thing in my dad's family. Everyone was pretty good at music, and Dad could play guitar, and he actually has quite a good singing voice too. So when I was young, I was just hanging out with him, and he was like, "Do you want to try learning? I'll teach you a song, guitar." And then I was obsessed. And as a kid, I lived on Phillip Island. I'm not sure, being new to Melbourne, where, if you know where that is.
I've been down there, Penguin City.
Penguin City, right? So that's where I grew up. But I went to school in Melbourne, so I'd have these long car trips to get to school. Dad would drive me 2 hours to get to school on his way to work. And each car trip was a lesson on a new band.
Yeah.
So the first lesson was the Beatles. This is everything you need to know about the Beatles. You've got 2 hours in the car. You're going to learn their discography.
All right, answer me this. Was this arguably the better education than actually being at school?
Yeah, 100%. I didn't care about school. I didn't give a fuck. I just wanted to learn about the Beatles, Paul McCartney.
Yeah, and so just for context, how old are you at this point? So this is in like high school?
No, this is in primary school. So,
amazing.
Yeah, so I would have been in... I reckon the car trip started in grade 3, so I would have been about 9 years old.
Yeah, it's weird you mentioned that, because I reckon I was around that sort of age when I was like getting into The Clash, The Jam, and Bowie and all that stuff. It's nuts. I'm just going to find this quote from Morrissey that I love. I only came across it a couple of years ago, but it like perfectly, it just sums it up for me, in my mind anyway. So this is the quote from Morrissey: "Nothing else in your life will affect you like music did in your early teens, and it puts you on a certain course. It's like a love affair. It widens your taste and broadens your view of everything. It saves you." And I think that's so true, and it sounds like it might be true for you, because genuinely, like, as I said, I don't play anything music-wise, but like, my friendships are from music. The clothes I wear are from music. Like, my main interest in life is music. I do this podcast about music. And I think that little window, probably from around 9 to 10 to like 14, is like crucial for that, I think.
That just blew my mind. I have never heard that quote before, but that, nothing can describe it like that. That just makes so much sense.
It's amazing, right? It just perfectly puts it in a nutshell. So anyway, onto your style then, Ruby. So obviously we know you've had these lessons in music, and it's pretty plain to see how you've arrived at your sound, because it has got that, the way you dress, it's got the 60s, 70s stuff going on, which I think is fucking cool. Just for the record, you basically dress like how I would dress if I was not a man.
Thank you. Okay, that's a big compliment. Thank you very much.
I don't know if that's a compliment, but there's something there that's trying to be a compliment.
Well, even just the 60s, 70s thing, I will take that. If that's what's obvious, I appreciate
Boom.
That.
Exactly. So tell us about On the Boulevard that came out. Was it July 2023 that came out? Is that right?
I want to say it was. Yeah.
We'll go with July 2023. So yeah, just tell us the backstory of that song, because it's been on repeat.
Oh, yay, thank you. Well, what is the backstory? Okay, well, so it kind of came about when I moved in with my best friend, and we're living in this really cute house in Elwood by the beach. And I don't know what it was, but I was going through this phase of just like, my best friend and I were just, I don't know, we felt real special at the time. I don't know how else to describe it, but we would...
Special in what sense?
Yes.
In a good headspace?
Kinda. I mean, we felt like we were in our own little world, and we would just go out together, just the two of us, and dance all night, and we would, you know, just get up to all kinds of mischief together. But it was like we're in our own little bubble, just having the best time, and it was just the two of us, and we were loving it. And the song was kind of written for her. It was about her because, you know, it's like she's your favorite girl. You know, you find her dancing on the table, because that's the sort of stuff we would do. We'd, you know, be in our kitchen. Like, there's videos of us roller skating in our kitchen, hence the roller skating, well, the cover art with the roller skate on it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we'd be dancing on our kitchen table. Like, we were just, you know, crazy together, and we're having so much fun. And I kind of wrote the song for her, and it was, you know, kind of describing this dream that we always used to talk about how one day let's move to LA and we'll go, you know, walk along Sunset Boulevard and we'll go do this and this, and we'll, you know, we had all these little things we would always talk about, and these little cute dreams, and the song was about her and the dream that we had. Just kind of
amazing. I love that. You've got to have dreams. You've got, as mental as some of them might be, you have to have them.
Yeah. And it makes me sound really mental just saying it out loud. But I sound like
you're like, I need to actually move to LA now. Shit. So I also wanted to ask you about your track Swimming, because I suppose if a modern sound is even such a thing, that's got a slightly more modern sound to it. I've also got to ask, because in that, I hear like a bit of Dusty Springfield's version of Spooky.
Oh, I like that.
Are you a Dusty fan? Because I think a lot of your vocals come across in that sort of style.
Oh, that couldn't have been a bigger compliment. Thank you. Yes, I love Dusty. And I love Spooky as well. Her vocals are something else. Like, it's got so much soul, but it's also so dreamy. And
also, like, kind of haunting in some respects, in like, not like in a fuck me, this is gonna, I'm gonna die sense of haunting, but like profound haunting.
Kind of spooky.
Yeah. Ruby, if all else fails, stand up. That's your calling.
Yeah, well, I thought so too.
Oh, is there a story there? Have you tried stand up?
No, it's just okay. I'm kind of, amongst my friends, I guess, known for making really stupid dad jokes all the time, and they kind of hate it. But I find it really funny, and I'm the only person laughing.
Dad jokes are the best jokes.
I think so.
Yeah.
But they don't.
By the way, have you ever seen Stevie Wonder's wife?
No.
Nah, neither has he.
Oh my God. I should have seen that one coming.
Ah, that is a classic dad joke. How did you not?
That's actually a really good one. I'm going to remember that.
I got you hook, line, and sinker there, Ruby. Fuck's sake.
Oh, my God. That was so good.
Right. Okay, then. Let's take a trip down to the dream gig venue.
I'll have 2 pints, please. Fuck, I love this bed. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The dream gig venue. Step this way.
Okay then, Ruby Cannon, let's get into it. First up, what is going to be the name of the venue and what sort of capacity are you going for? Do you like stuff intimate when you're playing?
I love intimate. So I would say like a 400 capacity, because, you know, that it's enough room to have like a good crowd. Like, you could stage dive if you wanted. But like, at the same time, it's intimate and you can see everyone's faces, and like, you know, you make a cheeky remark, you can like look directly at someone and be like, that was it, you know what I mean? Like,
fuck yeah. Have you ever stage dived before?
No, but I am going to one day. It's
surely it's on like every artist bucket list, right?
Yeah, like 100%, it has to happen, and if it doesn't, like, I have not succeeded.
I will die very unhappy.
maybe at the EP launch. Maybe I should make that a promise to make people show up.
yeah, definitely. That would sell tickets for sure. Okay. Oh shit, we didn't get the name of the venue. What name are you going for?
I don't know. See, you know what name I love?
Go on.
Whiskey a Go Go.
Whiskey a Go Go.
Well, see, no, that's a place that already exists. Funnily enough, it's on Sunset Boulevard in LA. I'm just saying. It all comes back to the boulevard.
It's meant to be.
See, now I would go for a name like that. Now I can't think of a name, but it would be something like the Whiskey A Go-Go.
That's a fucking great name. I've never even heard of that place.
I can't believe you haven't heard. That was where the Doors used to play when they were up and coming. Like,
is that where, fuck, I've had a mind blank. What's the dude from Motorhead? Lemmy, isn't that where he used to go? Is that where he went?
Maybe.
Yeah, because I think that might be the place. He used to go there and just drink JD and Coke like all day.
Yeah, I mean, sounds about right. Sounds like something.
It fits the profile, yeah. All right, next up then, we have, this is pretty key, dress code for the night. What's going on?
Studio 54.
Big disco vibes, okay.
Yeah, 70s. Like, it's very much 70s underground, I guess. Like, think of like an Andy Warhol party. Like, super weird and like 70s and kind of a bit, you know, quirky.
Yeah, Joe, there's a great one of Blondie's music videos. I think it might be Heart of Glass. If you haven't seen it before, watch it. Because I think it's that one. It's filmed in Studio 54.
Oh my God. That's
and like, cool. Just, it's got that kind of like soft focus, amazing like aesthetic to it. Yes. And it's just like, fuck.
God, I love Blondie.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Debbie Harry's just, she's still touring.
She's still touring.
She's in her 70s. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she played Australia not that long ago.
That, I can't believe I missed out on that. That's a bummer.
Yeah, you fully look pissed off.
I feel pissed off. How could I know?
Ruby Cannon has left the Zoom meeting. That's amazing. All right, yeah, I can get behind Studio 54 for a dress code. That's great. All right, onto the snacks. What are the free drink you're going to have on tap, and what free food will be available at this Studio 54 Whiskey A Go-Go inspired?
Okay. Drinks. It's champagne on tap, but also Harvey Wallbanger's on tap. Now, if you don't know what a Harvey Wallbanger is, it is like the classic 70s drink. It's got a great name, right? Maybe the place could be called Harvey Wallbanger.
That's a great... Just call it Wallbangers.
Wallbangers A Go-Go.
Does it have to have a go-go? Oh,
yeah, it does.
It must have a go-go.
It's important.
Wait, what's the name of the drink again? Harvey
Wallbanger.
I'm going to have to look this right up. Like, hold on. Harvey Wallbanger.
So it's like a cocktail. It's like one of those classic 70s cocktails. I can tell you what's in it. It's orange juice.
I'm going to see if you get this right.
Vanilla Galliano.
Yeah.
Okay. Orange juice, vanilla Galliano, and vodka.
Yeah.
And sometimes cherry garnish.
I wouldn't have ever put orange and vanilla together.
It's surprisingly good.
And quite frankly, I'm fucked on them right now, and I don't know what day of the week it is.
I would clear well. I would highly recommend trying it because, yeah, it certainly helps you get through the week.
Nice. Okay. So what was the snack you're having?
Okay. Again, a 70s classic. You know those toothpicks that have a little block of cheese?
Are you gonna see pineapple and cheese?
Pineapple and cheese.
That's a 70s thing, man. Yeah.
That is a 70s thing? I've never seen pineapple and cheese.
Yeah, pineapple and cheese. Or are you going to say little onions and cheese?
Yeah, the onions. Yeah, because you know, like, they walk down and like, you know, they have the little onions and the, I think it's like onions, cheese and an olive or sometimes some kind of.
Okay, so all I'm hearing from this is you want people to be absolutely fucked because they're eating nothing.
Oh, of course. Of course. Oh, and Cosmopolitans is the drink too, because they're classic.
three drinks on tap. That's amazing. Okay. It is the dream gig venue, so you can do whatever you want within it.
Yeah.
So.
And the more drunk people are, the more okay they're going to be with my stage dive.
Yeah, this is true. Okay, on to support acts then. Who are you having? Who's playing before Ruby?
Before me? I'll probably like just like the Rolling Stones or something.
Oh, yeah, it's Rolling Stones. That's fine. Yeah, yeah, fair. Present-day Rolling Stones or, like, prime Rolling Stones?
Prime Rolling Stones.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Prime Mick Jagger.
I think if you did present-day, you'd have to start at, like, midday, because I don't know what time they go to bed now.
Yeah, 4 p.m. special.
Yeah. Get the early crowd in. Nice. Okay. Yeah. And finally, who would you be picking? And this could literally be your mate from down the pub. Who's doing security on the front door?
Joan Jett, because I feel like she's a badass.
She is.
I want to say Joan Jett because she's a badass.
Fair play. Yeah, you wouldn't want to cross her, actually.
No, because, you know, she'll just, like, you can't try and go. She'll be like, do you want to touch me there? And then punch, get it because of the song.
Nice. I see what you did. Yeah. I just, there must be so many secrets in her hair, that jet black hair.
Yeah, right?
Like, you know, you really wouldn't want to fuck with her.
No, and she's like, it's like, I think it's the eye makeup, but like, I feel like she could be intimidating if she wanted to be, but she's also really cool, so you don't want to cross her because you're like, oh, I want her to like me.
You've really thought about that. I appreciate it.
I've thought about it a lot, actually.
Amazing. Cool. Well, Ruby Cannon, thanks ever so much for your time. That is the end of the thanks. Dream gig venue. What did we settle on for the name? Harvey?
Wallbangers a go-go.
Wallbangers a go-go. Fuck yeah, let's make it happen.
Yeah, look, I'm keen. Yeah, we'll have a meeting about it next week.
Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes, alt down under.
Thank you, Ruby. I really, really did enjoy that chat. That was Ruby Cannon there. What an absolute legend. I did promise last episode a pretty out there, chaotic dream gig venue to rival that of Declan McKenna. Safe to say, Ruby definitely delivered there. So do, if you haven't heard it yet, do go back and listen to Declan's dream gig venue as well. Some very funny stuff in there, including milk as a potential free drink on tap. In the meantime, keep up to date with Ruby, what she's doing, any gigs that she's got coming up near you. She's on Instagram, Ruby_Cannon. Give her a follow. And yeah, just track that journey because I really feel like she's an artist that's going places. And as we know, kind of grassroots upcoming artists need all the support that we can give them. So definitely get behind her. Brilliant artist and an even better person. Thanks once again for tuning in, guys. And also give me, or rather the pod, a follow. alt.down.under on Instagram. We're also on TikTok. Like, subscribe, give us a follow, and tell your buddies about us. We're also building our audience, so all the love is very much appreciated. As always, we'll be back next Wednesday with a fresh episode. Have a great week, and I'll catch you then.
Alternative Down Under. Yeah.